Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He made everything without sin, all by speaking it into creation. As the Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the deep, the eternal Son was that word by which the Father created all living things, by which the Father hung the stars in the firmament, by which the Father produced life, by which the Father caused all seed to grow fruit, all the animals to spring forth, and lastly, His favorite creation, man. God created Adam from the dust of the ground. He formed him and he breathed life into him. And then God declared that it was not good that the man should be alone, but that he should have a helpmeet for him. And so he caused Adam to fall asleep. And from Adam he brought forth the first woman and presented him to the first man in the first holy matrimony. He said, be fruitful and multiply. God's creation was very good, declared by him himself. And yet, one of his creation, Lucifer, decided that he did not want to be a part of God's order. Rather, he wanted his own order. He wanted to be like God. And so that light bearer was cast down from his royal heavenly place. And he did not find it enough to be cast down. No, he took a third of all the heavenly angels with him. And even that was not enough for him. For then he went into God's beautiful Garden of Eden to try to corrupt even that. And so he finds Eve, the weaker vessel. And he goes to her and he says, did God really say, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? The devil does exactly what he always does. He twists God's word. He knows it, and yet he twists it to suit his own desires. He takes that which is good, that which is perfect, and then corrupts it. The devil cannot create anything of his own. And instead, he takes God's wonderful gifts and he corrupts. So the woman tries to correct him. She says, oh no, God simply said we can't eat of the tree in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, most of that is what we heard God command. But the touching it is an additional thing. Now, whether that was Adam trying to get her away from that tree as a good pastor might, the fact is that she has added to God's word something that we should not do. It gives the devil a further door. And so the devil says, you will not die. Rather, when you eat of it, you will become like God. Isn't that what you really want? It's what I wanted. Why don't you want to be like me? Be your own God. Live your own truth. And so the woman takes another look at the fruit. Now she has a decision to make. Will she follow the words of her husband, of her God, or will she follow the words of this serpent? This fallen angel appearing to her. Unfortunately, you know how that goes. She takes the fruit and she eats of it. And she gives then some to her husband whom God had given to her to protect her. And he eats too. And immediately they feel the separation growing between them and between God. And so now when God's voice approaches, they hide from him rather than as children run to their father. And God says, Adam, where are you? Adam then presents himself and he says, I heard your voice and I was afraid because I was naked. And the father says, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat? And what does Adam do? Does he own up to his mistake? No. He says, this woman, the woman that you gave to be with me, God, see, really, it's all your fault. You decided I was lonely. You decided that I should have a wife. God, look what you've done. God then turns to the woman. He says, what have you done? And instead of owning up, she says, the serpent beguiled me and I ate. God then turns to the serpent and gives a condemnation. Now you will eat dust. Now you will crawl on your belly all your days. And on top of that, there will be enmity between you and the seed of the woman. And yet, in all of that, God also gives a gospel message. Yes, he would proclaim to the woman that her childbearing pains would be increased, that she will desire the role of authority given by God to her husband, but that he shall rule over her. Yes, God will proclaim to Adam that now all mankind will fall, all mankind will die, all creation will die because of the corrupted nature of Adam's sin. Now he will still provide for his wife, but it will be through toil and hard work until at the last day, he will die. But in the midst of all of that, God gives a word of promise. He proclaims, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Already there, in the midst of their sin, in the midst of their shame, God has given them a path to forgiveness. That same path is the path that you and I have to forgiveness. Adam does not earn forgiveness. Eve does not earn it. We do not earn it. It is solely by what God has proclaimed here in that garden to that devil in the midst of Adam and Eve. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Jesus Christ comes. The eternal Son takes on human flesh, born of a virgin at God's proper and specific time. He comes into the world as a man. Jesus lives a perfect life for you and for me, for Adam and for Eve and for all of God's creation. God had cast Adam and Eve out of the garden that day, but ultimately a promised land would come. In our gospel lesson, Jesus, immediately after being baptized, immediately after having the heavens opened and the Father proclaiming, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, having the Holy Spirit descend upon him in the form of a dove, now the Spirit drives him into the wilderness. And there Jesus spends 40 days fasting, going without food to meditate upon the Word of God. The devil comes to him after 40 days of not eating, when his stomach surely is desiring and craving food. Jesus is led into that wilderness by the Spirit, and now the devil comes to try to do what he has done so many times before. He says, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, surely it would not have been sinful for Jesus to eat bread. And yet he is not putting his divine nature to the test. He is there to be tempted in every single way. Every single way, so that he might endure, so that his bride, the church, might endure. Yes, our bridegroom has been tempted in every single way that we have. St. Paul declares that in the book of Hebrews, and yet he was without sin. Adam failed. The first man failed. But now the second Adam will not. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Those words bring us through Lent when we do practice bodily fasting, when we prepare our souls to receive the spiritual food of the Lord's Supper, that our focus is on that daily bread that God provides, which is not just that which feeds the stomach, but that which feeds the soul as well. So the devil will try again. Then the devil took him up into the holy city. He set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written." The devil here is going to try to use God's word against him. He says, "He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." The devil does the same thing he did in the garden. Perhaps I can try twisting God's word. Perhaps I can try twisting his command to draw doubt. He quotes Psalm 91, "To the very word made flesh." Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." I shall not throw myself down to have the angels come to me, even though I know that they would. For I will not test my Father. God has given this proclamation, this wonderful promise, that his angels do guard us, that his angels help to assist us on the way that he has laid out for us. Not that we might test him, not that we might try to take our life, but that we might trust him. No, I will not allow you to twist my Father's words. I will not test him. The devil tries again. He takes him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus, this is really what you want, isn't it? You don't really want to drink the cup. You don't really want me to bruise your heel, do you? You don't really want to suffer. You don't want to die for all these wretched people, do you? Wouldn't you rather just come and be king over this and rule as your people desire you to? I will give it all to you, and you won't have to suffer for it. Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shalt thou serve." The devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. Jesus here, each time he is tempted by the devil, each time he in turn proclaims the clear word of God. You have temptings as well. I am tempted as well. The devil comes to us and he tries the same things. Did God really say you should have no other gods? Did God really say you should come to church and worship him? Wouldn't it be easier to just stay in bed on Sunday? Wouldn't it be easier to worship all these other things? Wouldn't it be easier to be your own God? Don't you want to be your own God? Don't you want to decide what is right and what is wrong? Why should you trust him? After all, he isn't real. After all, he didn't actually create. You're here by random chance. The devil has spun so many lies. But we must be grounded in the word of God. St. Paul writes in 2 Timothy, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." We spend years in higher academics, and yet we are taken further and further from the truth. Any education that is not founded on the clear word of God is a wide gate to hell. St. Paul continues, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Your life as a Christian is not promised to be roses. It is a life of persecution, because this fallen world, fallen because of Adam's fall, is ruled by the devil. And the devil seeks each and every one of our souls. But evil men, imposters, will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." And then he charges Timothy as a pastor. He says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." Those are the days we live in, aren't they? God had called his people Israel to live a holy life according to his commands, and they failed, and that land was taken away from them. God has so richly blessed us. Are we to follow his word or the word of the devil? Yes, we have itching ears, and we have that devil telling us to follow those itching ears. But you must be grounded in the word of God. He has not left you to live this life in temptation by yourself. He has given you a clear way through it, and that way is Jesus Christ. That way is his cross. For on that cross, yes, his heel was bruised, but the devil's head would be crushed. Jesus Christ has won the victory for us, that even though we are sinners because of Adam's fall, he makes us righteous. When you are living in the temptations of this life, hear the words of Jesus. Endure those temptations, trusting that he will give a way through. And when in our fallenness we do fail him, we have a Savior. We fall on our knees and cry out for God's forgiveness. He hears our prayer and he says, "I forgive you for the sake of my son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to take away your sins." He feeds us, for Jesus gives us his own body and blood for nourishment to strengthen our faith. Have the joy of a child. Run to the altar to hear the word and to receive his gifts. What a joy it is to be filled with the things of God. When the tempter comes, say the same things that Jesus said. Go away. Go back to hell from whence you came. I have a God who has done all things for me. The church sings. Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill, they shall not overpower us. This world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will, he can harm us none, he's judged, the deed is done, one little word can fell him. The word they still shall let remain, nor any thanks have for it, he's by our side upon the plain with his good gifts and spirit. And take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife, though these all be gone, our victory has been won, the kingdom ours remaineth. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.